preaching, preaching the unknown, unknown, unknown.
Welcome to the Cosmic Reality Radio Show with Nancy Hopkins, Walt Silva, and Dolly Howard. This is a production of Cosmic Reality Radio.
Turn away from disaster, arise inside. Choose your heart as a master.
And welcome to the Cosmic Reality Radio Show. Today it is January 21st, 2020. My name is Nancy Hopkins. With me is Walt Silva and Dolly Howard. So let me say, hi, Walt. How are you doing today?
Good evening, Nancy. Good evening, Dolly. And good evening, everybody out there in the audience. Good to have you guys back. This is the only social contact I get, so they let me out once a week. This is nice.
Social contact and a news update. Interesting.
Like a news update, yeah.
Once a week for 2 hours. Hey, Dolly, how are you? Are you ready are you ready to give him your update?
I know.
Well, it's happening. The central bank in Russia is now nationalized, so it's happening.
Wow, you're telling me something I don't know. What's that about?
I know things are happening, but I didn't know that was.
What do you know, yeah. Walt?
Well, I'll tell you this. Hold on, this little bit here. Because that was one of the things that I know that we don't read the report anymore. That's fine. But that's one of the things that Fulford has been talking about a little bit here, a little bit there, that one of the ways to end the control of the cabal is to nationalize the central banks. And it says here, let's start with a revolution that was announced in Russia last week. Basically, David Rothschild was kicked out and the Russian central bank was nationalized, which is why half the government was fired, FSB sources tell us. This is what FSB sources have to say on the subject. This is just three small paragraphs. It was supposed to start back in November 2019 when Prime Minister Dmitry Medvedev was killed at FSB headquarters, but due to the presence in the country of a huge number of the richest Jews in the world, Rothschilds, Sheldon, Adelson, etc., this operation was postponed. Then at the end of December, half of our money was given to one structure which organized this sudden departure of Jewish Premier Medvedev. This structure will oversee various ministries and all new ministers will be appointed under his supervision. On January 16th, President Herman Gref of Federal Central Bank, Sberbank, got so drunk with grief that he was taken to the Odentsovo Hospital suffering from acute alcohol poisoning. That is why he suddenly canceled his speech at the Gaidar Forum. On January 18th, Gref told TASS News, we should brace for the collapse of the existing world order. It will be very painful. So it's starting. They're beginning to lose the central banks. So,
what else does Fulford say? Now I'm interested in what Fulford's saying. Do you say?
Well, I can only read as far as the where it says you have to log in because, you know, I canceled my subscription.
Right.
So the next thing that it says is FSB sources also report that when Elvira Nabiulina, the head of the Russian Central Bank, was fired last week, all cell phones of central bank employees were confiscated and a huge stash of documents was seized. Another thing they reported to us was that Yevgeny Zinichev, the head of the Ministry of Emergencies, will become the head of the FSB, but this will also not be for long. The P3 Masons, who report a lot of weird, very weird stuff, tell us that Medvedev, who was removed, was actually an alien in quotes, because he doesn't follow, you know, he's not into alien stuff. Rothschild's slave president, Emmanuel Macron of France, is also under siege. He was forced to flee for his life from a theater last week amid rioting that has gone on now for over a year. A new French revolution is coming. French resistance sources promise. So then the next part is truncated. So it's talking about events in Japan. So it's, I guess it's hitting the fan.
So, Walt, did you read in there an alien took over the bank?
No. The minister, this Russian guy, Medvedev, who was the head of the central bank, was here. Hold on a second. Let me go back. The whole thing was supposed to start back in November 2019 when Prime Minister Dmitry Medvedev was killed at FSB headquarters. You know, that's okay, something now, that happened back in November.
FSB, what's FSB?
I think that's the letters for the Central Bank of Russia. It goes by those letters.
Okay. Okay.
That they're saying that in the other paragraph, it's saying that he had to be removed. The P3 Masons are saying that, you know, they report a lot of very weird stuff. And they said that guy that was killed, was removed, was actually an alien. So who knows if that's true and how does it matter? What does it matter? Because we know there's a big salad of aliens out there. Some are good, some are not so good, some are in the middle. So maybe, I don't know.
Did you just say a salad of aliens?
Well, who's not talking? You know, you hear Wilcock, you hear Parks, you hear all these presenters that are talking about, you know, this group over here and this other group over here, and it sounds like it's just a regular mix of people where you have all kinds of people in the world, you know, nice people, people that are not so nice, people that just want to kill everybody, and, you know, a nice big salad of humans on the planet. That's why we can't leave it up to somebody else to choose our reality for us and spoon feed it to us. We have to say, okay, that's enough. This is what's going to be in my reality, and I'm not endorsing any of that other stuff, and I'm voting as to what I want in my reality or not, because that's the way the universe works, based on contracts. And if you have a lot of bad stuff happening to you as well, at some point you contracted for that. The problem is that you're not aware that just being legitimately fearful of something, that's signing a contract. When you're fearful of something that, oh, this is going to kill me, oh, this is going to hurt me, well, you're just signing a contract because you're admitting that thing, yes, it can kill me, therefore you're making a contract. People hear the word contract and they just imagine a piece of paper with some writing on it. An energy contract is even more binding because energy is immune to time. So, you know, you could be experiencing a contract you made 10 lives ago.
Dolly, what did you want to say, hon?
Well, heck if I know now. I'm surprised that they would come out and say that they thought it was run by an alien. I mean, really? They come out and admit things like that now? Boy, things really are opening up.
Well, that I don't know if you ever had a chance to open that PDF that I sent you, that was sent to me by the gentleman in Australia.
No, and I decided not to because you said it wasn't any good.
Well, no, I didn't. Not that it wasn't any good. It's just I had issues with it. But, you know, you have to use your own discernment.
Well, if you have issues with it, I just figured I would have bigger issues with it.
Well, that's one of the chapters in the book. They're saying that quite openly, that there are members of their civilization that oftentimes play roles among, you know, they incarnate into human bodies, or they just take over an existing adult human body to do things among humans. So they're saying it, so if they're doing it, are there other groups doing it as well?
Well, you remember back when the California fires were happening and Paradise was burnt to the ground, well, exploded,
yes,
burnt to the ground. And Wilcox came out at that time and he said that he had known for a decade that Paradise was supposedly a community of ETs. But he had never said anything because he wasn't, you know, it wasn't confirmed enough for him. But the fact that Paradise was so targeted in that fire, I mean, that was a place that virtually every home was demolished. I mean, blew up. It wasn't just fire. There were trees standing around the buildings. The buildings were gone. And what he said was he only hoped that they had, that the underground system he knew was there was big enough and that they had warning enough that some of them survived.
But nobody ever heard, right?
I've never heard him come back to say anything more, but that, you know, that was a weird, I mean, like, oh my God, they've got communities? Oh no.
Oh no, they're in our neighborhood.
Might be my next door neighbor. Taxes. That's an interesting question. I don't know. I don't know, Walt. What do you think? Should we make a
pay? What was the question?
Do they pay taxes?
Oh, hey, that's a good question.
Yeah, I don't want to hear, because that's one of the things I remember hearing back in the years that I lived in New York. One of my ex-employers used to say, when you're driving around the city, make sure that you never have any kind of fender bender or any kind of car crash with those guys that are the car has diplomatic plates. And I ask him, why? What's going on? Why? What's wrong? Because if they have the car has diplomatic plates, that means that vehicle belongs to a consulate or an embassy, and they have political immunity. So that means you, even if they're guilty of the accident, you're going to end up losing because they have immunity. And I'm thinking, wow, what a raw deal. You can do whatever you want, but nobody can touch you because you have diplomatic immunity. So I would
even
hate to...
Even murder, Walt. Even so, murder.
So I wonder if these aliens have immunity from everything. They don't have to pay taxes. They don't have to pay services. They have complete immunity. That's not nice.
I want to go back to the Russian bank. So what we're saying here is...
To answer your previous question.
Yes.
FSB is Russian letters that translate into Federal Security Service. Federal Security Service of the Russian Federation. It's the complete name. And it used to be the old KGB.
Okay, that makes more sense. It's the KGB that they're listening to. I mean, it might have changed the name, but they're still the same.
And according to this description, it says the direction of the FSB is executed by the President of Russia, who appoints the director of the FSB.
Okay, but the thing of it is here is that, okay, I mean, it's getting crazier and crazier. The leftist, I won't even call them Democrats anymore, are blaming Trump.
Swampings,
yeah. That Trump was in collusion with Russia and they spent, you know, 2 years trying to do this. But in fact, Trump probably is in collusion with Russia to bring them all down.
Yes, I thought of that too. Yes.
You know, you're kind of missing the point here. I've been sure of that for quite a while. There's too many indicators that we know that Trump plays a role. And I mean, like, don't you remember last year, 19, everybody was, oh my God, we're going to have a trade war with China. It's going to be terrible. And he just signed some trade agreement with them.
Yes.
You know, they hardly got any press.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's like there's all these screaming and the hollering and stuff. And then, you know, behind the scenes, it was like the North Korean situation. He and the North Korean were going to duke it out in some kind of a gym. You know, I mean, it was just terrible. We were all going to go to war because these two men were idiots. And then all of a sudden, they're hugging each other, kissing each other. Oh, we did it, you know. And then the backstory is that the people that were controlling the North Korean president were all killed off. That the White Hats sent in their team of assassins and took them out so that the North Korean could finally come out and say, Oh, thank God. Thank God you got rid of those people. And then we got the story about, you know, the last story we were talking about. I'm not sure we talked about it on this show, but we did on others. Regarding the assassination of the general that was supposed to take over in a military coup, the Iranian religious government. And so they went to Trump and they said, wow, it's all falling apart. You know, they're going to try to do World War III and they're trying all this stuff. And so Trump says, okay, we'll take care of it. You know, boom, gone. Right? And then the Iranians sent some missiles over to an American station that was already evacuated. I mean, good Lord, people, wake up. You know, could all of these insane things be happening? And now you got Russia has done what we have been saying will be done to the United States. That they've actually said, get the hell out of here. Now, the Russian situation and what was done to them financially in the bank, I actually didn't realize that the Rothschilds were in control of the Central Bank of Russia, and I know a lot about Russia. But this is just such a massive impact on, I mean, these swamp people have got to be really, really scared now. Because
I've been telling you that.
Yeah,
that's their bread and butter. That's the fuel that runs the car.
Terrified.
Yep.
It's coming out. It's coming out. If you open your eyes, you can see it, folks. It's happening.
And so I haven't heard anything about the Russians running in the streets, killing each other because they have a new banker. Isn't that what they're threatening us? Oh, if you get rid of the Fed, everything will too big to fall. I fell for that once. I'll not do it again. Because honestly, in 08, when they were saying it's too big to fall, I'm going like, yeah, it probably is too big to fall because of the way that they've got it all jerry-rigged. You know, but then you look at what happened and you go, no, we could have done without them very easily. I've learned a lot. And I know that other people have too. Because one of the strangest conversations I've ever heard was between my sister and my brother-in-law, her husband. And they started talking about how bad the Federal Reserve was. You know, something that if I had said to them the same statement, you know, not six or about 6 months before that, they would have, oh, you conspiracy nut, you know. But no, it was an eye-opener. It was almost like, if I look back at it now, I think, wow, you know, because what happened was they put the economy in as much jeopardy as it's been in since the 30s. And you've got a situation where, okay, it was rocky. A lot of people lost money, but who lost money? You know, it was the people that were playing the game with the banks, the people that had mortgages, the people that, you know, were suckered. And now all of those people, you know, are like, hey, we've been there. You know, we know what you did to us. And a lot of other people who know of people, I mean, good Lord, you got involved in it, Walt. You know, the this one buying out your mortgage and you don't even know who the hell it is that owns the mortgage. Well, nobody owns the mortgage except for your state makes you responsible whether nobody owns it or not, right? It was insane. So I just look at this stuff and I say, okay, well, the worst situation that we would think, right, well, probably not too many of us now, but think, you know, back in 08 was, oh, my God, you're going to nationalize the banks? This has got to be a fascist move, right? I mean, that's how most, you know, absolute dictators go about it. They take over the banks. And so everybody's like, oh, my God, you don't want to do that. Oh, my God, it's fascist, you know. But now you look at it, and it's not fascist at all. It's taking back your sovereignty as a nation, you know, because who's owning those people, the biggest fascist in the world? The cabal, the bankers, you know, they.
But I heard a long time ago, it's all set up for the federal bank to go away and the new system to come in. It's all set up. They're just waiting for the right time to do it. Well, I've heard this a long time ago.
Yeah, but there's a lot of other things that are going on behind it. I mean, again, it was part, if you, you probably weren't paying attention because I was hardly paying attention. But when we would do the Fulford reports and he was talking about the computer system and the change of the computer system and all that went behind that, you know, so there's a lot of things to be looked at. And yes, you, if you take over the, well, look at the Russians have done it, right? They did it. They said, get out of here. We're going to nationalize the bank. And I'm sure if there was rioting in the streets and if the economy was falling apart, I'd have seen it on CBS or NBC when I was out there looking for information today. You know, so it would be, oh my God. Yeah. Russians have just done this and now they're, you know, they're tanking, right? But I mean, a chat room, if you, any of you know, I can't, okay. I should give you an update on the computers. Yes, there is a problem with the system, but it's not my house. It is on the system. And when, by the time this guy got here, he, you know, and nowadays, it used to be that you'd have to disconnect the wire and then take a meter reading on what's coming off the
wire.
Well,
wait a minute. You're talking about Comcast now?
Comcast, right.
Oh, well, you switched gears without telling me.
I know, but I forgot to tell people so that they know if something weird happens, what's happening. So, but now, apparently, they got little computers there. Because
where?
Right where the wires are. They don't have to disconnect anything. He did a complete troubleshooting of the wire system to my house without disconnecting me. The station never went down today. I was expecting
Seriously?
It. Yeah. Yeah, and he comes back in, and he was out there for half an hour at least. And when he comes in, he's got this thing on his phone, and he's showing me a readout of the last 7 days. And he says, see all this in here? This is not supposed to be there. That's all, what do you call it? Oh, geez. It's not clutter, but anyway.
Interference?
Yeah, static type of stuff. Interference on the line that was drawing down the power. But he could see it. So it was no guessing, taking out and bringing in and doing all this equipment change when it's on the wire and it doesn't have any, no, and they didn't even have to disconnect. All they had to do was do a readout of this little computer that's apparently attached to these lines now.
So did he fix it?
Well, no, because whatever's happening is happening all over the neighborhood. He said, look at what's come in today. And he shows me a map of the neighborhood, and all over the neighborhood are these lights. And he said, those are all service calls. He said, you realized it quicker than most people. He said, but if we got this many right now, he said, I can guarantee you they're going to do everything that they can to fix this as quickly as they can. Because there's so many people involved in it. And essentially what it did was it cut my speed in half. Now, one of the tricks I did learn in dealing with this time is that you can, if you've got Comcast, you can go over to speedtest.xfinity.com and it will tell you your download speed. And when they had me do the check, it was half of what my signal should be. So what happens is that if a lot of people get on downloading a movie, that's when my system starts to go bananas. And so if you lose us, we will come back because it's dropping out and then coming back. So, you know, whichever one of the players you happen to be listening to, don't worry, we will come back. I'm fully confident sooner or later we will come back. But the worst case situation would be if I had to reset the modem 3 times. I don't even remember what day it was. Saturday, I think. Yeah, it was Saturday. And I haven't had to do that since. But that, even if I have to do that and reset it, we'd be back within 5 minutes. So just that's just the station, whatever, report. So what we were talking about was the banks in Russia. And I'm stunned by that information. I want to find out more about that.
Well, I got to tell you, I have the TV on. And I've been listening to when the Republicans come on for this trial thing, stupid thing. And Schiff's on right now. Of course, he's muted. I swear to God, his eyes are going to explode. He's stiff. And every time when he tells big whoppers of lies, his eyes get that big. But this time they're even bigger than big. And I swear they're going to explode every once in a while. They really are freaking scared. Because the Senate is not going to do what they wanted. The Senate is not going to listen to the House and do what they wanted. Cover up for their butt. It's their idiocracy. But I just had to tell you, because I'm seeing his eyes so bad and his body so much more stiff than before, it just goes to prove to me anyway, yes, they are freaking scared. Worse than ever before. Of course, Nancy Pelosi's on her whatever she's on, and she's just flitting around. He's impeached forever.
Well, did you hear what Trump did at the Economical World Summit in...
No.
Where is it? Oh, shoot.
Begins it's over with in Switzerland or
Switzerland,
something?
Switzerland, D. It begins with a D. In Duga,
Denmark?
No, Duga, Switzerland, or whatever it is. But anyway.
Oh.
Okay, so they had... Let me see if I can... They had all these people. Apparently, this particular group seems to be a group that always is talking about crisis, you know, we've got the world's in turmoil and we're gonna crash and burn, right? That's the kind of thing that comes out. And so
yeah.
they this article I was looking at, they were saying, and this one was saying, you know, the economics is about to crash and it's just terrible. And you know, then the little girl there, what's her name, Greta?
The little girl
on the climate change thing.
Yeah,
oh,
her father is the one doing all the posts on Facebook.
Thornburg or somebody. Anyway, so she gets up and she's probably yelling, "You haven't done anything and we're all doomed.
Yeah, yeah, right.
And apparently Trump came on and said, "Hey, listen to what's happening in America." And he began to tell the American story of how much we're better off economically than we've been in decades. And he says, and don't listen to all these people that are doom and gloom. You know, I mean, Davos is the place, okay? And he says, don't be, you know, upset about this climate. I mean, everything that they said, he just got up and said, "You people are full of crap."
I didn't hear that. Was that when I was in the hospital or was that today?
I think it was today or yesterday.
Oh, yeah. When I was in the hospital, I didn't watch TV.
Okay, well, here it is. Okay, he bragged Tuesday about the American economy and rejected warnings that the world is barreling toward an environmental crisis, a key concern at this year's World Economic Forum. Speaking to the annual economic summit in the Swiss Alps, Trump boasted of producing more traditional fuels like natural gas and coal that contribute to global warming. He urged optimism at a time when many business leaders, politicians, and activists here have expressed anxiety about waning international cooperation and climate change, trends that Trump has either championed or dismissed. "We must reject the perennial prophets of doom and their predictions of apocalypse," Trump said. "They are heirs of yesterday's foolish fortune tellers." This is the President of the United States talking to
the world.
He's
raining on a lot of people's parades.
Oh, my God. Trump said the United States would support a new global effort to plant. Now, I love this, okay? I just love this. To plant 1 trillion new trees, drawing polite applause in the conference hall. These are the environmentalists that are, blah, 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 dying. And he says, I'm going to give you a trillion new trees. And they're like, oh, shit. But there was no doubt that the president is out of step with the rest of the summit. Klaus Schwab, a German engineer and economist who founded the World Economic Forum 5 decades ago, sounded a much more pessimistic tone shortly before Trump spoke. The world is in a state of emergency and the window to act is closing, he said. Yes, we know that. We're trying to get that damn window closed and the door and every other escape you can possibly think of. Oh, okay, anyway. The president of Switzerland, Simonetta Sommaruga, expressed alarm about the effects of climate change as global temperatures rise. The world is on fire, she said. We see the rainforest burning in the Amazon and the bushfires burning in Australia. She added, when economic interests are placed above the functioning of the natural world, the consequences for human and for economy are dramatic. And that is so true, that's such an absolutely perfectly truthful statement, but you don't understand it. You know? Because, like, for instance, the Amazon fires, all right? The Amazon fires, I can't comment on because I just don't know enough about the region, but I do know a little bit about Australia. And the thing of it is that this whole area that started burning and, I mean, going into these massive eruptions of fire, they're all been in the technological environment of electromagnetic radiation that causes trees to make turpentine. And these things are blowing up because they're full of turpentine because of the EMF Wi-Fi. But I don't think the wet lady in Switzerland would even believe that could possibly be true. He said, without treating it as a real crisis, we cannot solve it, she said before Trump spoke. But Trump appeared optimistic after flying overnight from Washington, where his Senate impeachment trial is beginning in earnest. Okay, I'll see you. I got to go take a trip. Gripping each side of the podium as he read from 2 teleprompters. I wonder why he had to read from 2 teleprompters. Trump recited a litany of U.S.
stations.
Uh-huh.
Oh,
teleprompters is what he's speaking at, what he's
reading.
Yeah,
Trump
recited a litany of U.S. economic statistics that he claimed showed his policies were working. End quote. Today I'm proud to declare that the United States is in the midst of an economic boom, the likes of which the world has never seen before, he said. Trump's election sparked alarm among the global elite, who gather in Davos every year to ruminate on the world's challenges, and the president appeared eager to claim vindication. The time for skepticism is over, he said. Trump received some support from the International Monetary Fund, which is the evil arm of the financial cabal. You know, I mean, this thing is, they're going to lie every chance they get. So this kind of tickled me. But it predicted that global growth would hit 3.3% this year. That's up from 2.9% last year, the worst year for the world economy since the Great Recession. Oh, they're calling it the Great Recession from 2007 to 2009. The Great Recession. I'll have to remember that. The IMF, the International Monetary Fund, said more upbeat forecast is largely due to Trump and China easing their trade war and the stimulus from 49 central banks, including the Federal Reserve, that have lowered interest rates. Well, I wonder why they did that. Trump did not mention his impeachment during his speech, but briefly rehashed his complaints about the process before entering the main hall. It's just a hoax. It's a witch hunt that's been going on for years, he told reporters. And then he's just nothing after that. I mean, there is, but nothing we want to read. So, he's not buying. Now, this climate change thing. Oh, my goodness. Here it is. Okay. There's been a, all of a sudden, there's a pushback by the scientific community against this, you know, we're doomed and gloom because of the climate, well, they're calling it climate change hoax. As new science finds human activity has virtually zero impact on global temperatures. And this is by Mike Adams. It was on the 18th of this month. So, it's a good article. I'll put it up. It'll give you a different view of what really is happening. But the basic story here is that cosmic rays, which are normally deflected via the magnetosphere, are, in times of weak or changing magnetic fields emanating from Earth itself, able to penetrate further into Earth's atmosphere, causing the formation of low-level clouds, which cover the land in a kind of, quote, umbrella effect, end quote, that shades the land from the sun, allowing cooling to take place. But a lack of clouds makes the surface hotter, as would be expected. The natural phenomena is now documented to be the, in bold, primary driver of global temperatures and climate, not human activity. Burn all the oil you want. In other words, and it's still just a drop in the bucket compared to the power of the sun and other cosmic influences. All the fossil fuel consumption in the world barely contributes anything to actual global temperatures, the researchers confirmed. And this does go on, you know. Might as well just take a look at it here. Okay, because it's important. Okay, they go on to explain in this research that the IPCC, which is the International, it was on climate change. Climate models are wildly overestimating the influence of carbon dioxide on global temperatures. Carbon dioxide, and he goes through, you know, I don't want to go through the figures, but carbon dioxide, in other words, isn't the pollutant that climate change and alarmists have long claimed it could be, it to be. CO2 won't destroy the planet and barely has any effect on global temperatures. The IPCC estimate of its effect is, according to Finnish researchers, about one order of magnitude too large, or 10 times the actual amount. In fact, NASA was forced to recently admit that carbon dioxide is re-greening the Earth on a massive scale by supporting the growth of rainforest, trees, and grasslands. See these maps showing the increase in green planet life thanks to O2. And there's a picture there, and it's okay, all of South America, all of the southern part of Africa, most of the United States, Europe completely. I mean, everywhere you look, there's only a little spot here and there of not being included as, you know, growing better than they have been because of the greenhouse effect of the carbon dioxide. Importantly, reducing our global consumption of fossil fuels will have virtually no impact on global temperatures. The far bigger governor of climate and temperature is the strength and configuration of the Earth's magnetosphere, which has always been in flux since the formation of the planet billions of years ago. The weaker the magnetosphere, the more cosmic rays penetrate the atmosphere, resulting in the generation of clouds, which shields the planet's surface from the sun. Thus, a weaker magnetosphere causing global cooling, while a stronger magnetosphere results in global warming, according to this research. He says the war on carbon is derived from sheer stupidity, arrogance, and scientific illiteracy. Anyway, so apparently the only reason they have this carbon thing happening, okay, is because it's part of the agenda of trying to take control by taking sovereign rights away from nations to have this global view of things, and by having climate change be so critical, more people are willing to give up their concepts of nation states to save the world, but you're saving the world from something that you have no control over, and it's all fallacy to begin with. And on top of that, these fools, these humans that are following for this, and ha-ha, look at me, oh, God, this dumb fool. Well, let's make some money on this. So you're all scared, and so they convince us to have these carbon taxes. There's just another way of fueling the coffers of the deep state. You know, it is such a hoax. And anybody that believes in the concept of climate change being because we're burning carbon, please, 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 please do a little research. And it's not your fault, because I was listening to one scientist who was in this area, you know, of science, and he was apologizing because he said, look it, I took it verbatim that the research being presented to me was correct. He said, and if I had just taken the time to look at it, I would have realized how fake it was. And he said, now we're waking up. Now we are understanding that we the scientists even, were hoodwinked. So, anyway, just thought I'd pass that on. Are you guys...
The scientists have no frickin' excuses.
It sounds like a repeat of the old Cabal playbook. Create a disaster or a crisis and then make money from it.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, you create a crisis and then you offer solutions to it. So you create the disease and then you make millions on the drug to cure the disease.
Yeah.
Which is not unlike, you know, remember when you had that lady guest who swore up and down that the AIDS thing was a fabricated thing. There is, in actuality, no such virus. And people that died of complications from the treatment that was being done, not because they were diagnosed, because even the diagnosis was a very sketchy mechanism, because viruses are not readily... Viruses, given their scale, you can't see them in a regular standard laboratory microscope. You can only see them in an electron microscope. They're so tremendously tiny. So they went about, remember she said that they went about diagnosing it by coming up with these, you know, questionable tests, and here people were committing suicide or they were going crazy because they're diagnosed and they weren't sick at all. And you have cases of celebrities that were supposedly diagnosed positive and they're still walking around. They didn't die of AIDS. They weren't given any magical drugs. So, just create a world crisis and then make money on it.
I totally understand what you're saying. The whole AIDS thing, you know, when that happened, when that came out in the early 70s, I was working at a restaurant. Well, it was a restaurant bar kind of thing. And we'd get off at 2 o'clock in the morning and we'd go over to Uncle Charlie's down here in Miami, which was like the same people that were involved in, what's it called? One of the first gay, what did they call those things? You know, just nightclub things, but they had a special name for them. Same people that set that one up, Uncle Charlie's up. Whatever that was called, 56 Science, Studio 56 or something like that. Down here, it was Uncle Charlie's. And so I got to know a lot of gay guys because that's where we were going. That was where it was safe and there was a lot of people, many of us in the restaurant business. And then they all started getting sick. like in mass. And that was when I found out from somebody who showed me a newspaper article. It was like a submission or a asking people to do this test with hepatitis, I think B maybe, because a lot of the gay community were getting it, and that this was going to be some kind of a vaccination type of thing, and that when you take and you follow that particular supposed study into this new thing for hepatitis B, those are the areas where the outbreak of AIDS occurred. Supposed AIDS. Same area. And this led to my being introduced to a scientist that was supposedly the guy that made the AIDS. And the requirement was that he would have to create this devastating disease, but also have a way of stopping it before they would let him do this, you know. But and now I think if you looked into it, you'd find a lot of people just have a lot more referencing, proving that that was the case, that this was a way of, you know, it was, to me it was kind of hateful because again, going back to this idea that they want to lower the population.
Yeah.
You know? And then, of course, if you see what happened, well, because it continued. And what happened was that they went into Africa and they started giving them all these shots and these people started coming down with AIDS like crazy. Again, it wasn't there until they were getting the vaccinations for whatever it was. It's another really, yeah. really deep, deep pit of unbelievable inhumanity.
And it backfired on them because I remember, I think I mentioned it in a show a couple of years ago or more, that I think it was late 80s or early 90s when the naturopathic doctor that I would go to, he had this monogram, this paper that was written by some group that claimed that the information was being channeled from some source. It was the first time I even heard the word channeling, but it was too technical for him to understand, and he gave it to me to read. And the title of the paper was "The Last Great Epidemic," and I thought, I wonder what this thing is about. So I'm reading this, and it's talking about this virus that, according to the paper, was achieved through gene splicing, and it was made in a laboratory in Eastern Berlin, and that they were using their test base to see how effective it was, is what you just said, people being inoculated in Africa. But, you know, like always, you can't control what's going to happen. There was a Canadian flight attendant, a male Canadian flight attendant, super gay, and he was very promiscuous. And he did have his flights did take him into African countries. So he was documented as case one, bringing it into, because at the time it wasn't here yet. It hadn't been deployed in the continent, and this guy brought it because he got contaminated in Africa, and he lived in San Francisco, and in his promiscuity he started spreading it around, and he wasn't aware that he was sick, but it backfired on them because they had a schedule when this thing was going to be released, but this guy, you know, he changed the whole schedule on them. The paper also said that the whole project had been financed by that secret lodge, the Skull and Bones thing that, remember, Bush belongs to. That's one of the things that the paper said. And that's how I got involved in making the Rife machine, because toward the end of this paper, they were saying that the solution to it was a machine that created a plasma wave that could break the physical structure of the virus. because it worked like when you have when you have a crystal goblet and you have a tuning fork and you produce a specific frequency. If it's resonant with it with the goblet, the crystal will break. It'll just burst. In the paper, it said that that was the principle of the machine, only that it didn't work with sound, that it worked with a plasma wave. And I'm thinking, oh wow, this would be amazing to find out how to make this machine or how to make it work or if anybody knows about it. And it was like almost a month later, I get this very, very cheaply made, very cheap paper catalog in the mail from Borderland Sciences Research Foundation, which is a company in California somewhere. And it was all unusual books, things that you would never see in Barnes & Noble or any other, you know, commercial bookstore. A lot of lost manuscripts, a lot of books about a Tesla and things like this. And in one of the pages, it was Dr. Baer's handbook of how to make the Rife machine. And I started reading what it says on the listing. And it was almost word for word describing what this paper said about how the machine worked, that it created a plasma wave. And depending on the frequency of the plasma wave, you know, it destroys microorganisms without affecting the body. Whereas chemotherapy, you're poisoning the entire body and you're betting, okay, which horse is going to win, the tumor or the person? This is the other way. It's like a silver bullet. It's only targeting the pathogen that's affecting the body. So that's what this writing said. That was a surefire way of eliminating the AIDS virus. That's how I got involved in making the machine.
Well, if you had read my books, my book, Shungite Reality, you know, the one you collaborated in, I did get into that question of Rife and what did happen. Because he proved his case. He was able to, you know, cure cancers of, you know, terminally ill people with just a couple of minutes every other week of treatment with this particular protocol. Let's just call it a protocol. And then all of a sudden, no more. You don't hear anything else. There's nothing that happens after the human trials had supported what they found in the mice trials. Just stopped. And I
you
think,
mean you didn't document the laboratory fire that destroyed everything?
Was there a fire?
Yeah, there was. Thanks to Dr. Baer credits one of his laboratory. No, he doesn't use the word assistant. He uses the word collaborator, somebody that actually worked with Rife. Because the thing with the Rife machine is that this is like the chicken or the egg. What came first? In the case of Rife, he never made the machine outright. Rife ended up using this concept of the resonant frequencies because his first work was with it's a discipline called dark field microscopy. And what it was, remember what I just said, you cannot see a living virus, to be specific, living virus. You cannot see a living virus in a standard laboratory microscope. You can't. They're just very, very small.
Where do you see them?
You need an electron microscope. An electron microscope does not use light. It uses a beam of electrons. They hit the target or the specimen that you want to see, and it gets picked up, you know, by like with the equipment, like you know how digital cameras work, that they don't use a chemical film. They use a sensitive cell. So the sense that the cell gets hit with the light, and that's how the image is formed. An electron microscope follows along those lines, that the electron beam hits the specimen, and either it goes through it or it bounces off of it. It gets picked up by a sensitive cell. And that's still how the image is created, and they were able to see tremendously tiny, tiny things. That's how scientists were able to use one of these to manipulate atoms and to make They made a laboratory by moving atoms around. They made a Buckminster Fuller ball, you know, a buckyball, using just simple atoms on the surface of a, I think it was an aluminum plate. They moved the atoms around until they were arranged like in a soccer ball configuration. But the problem is that because an electron microscope is in a vacuum and it uses an electron beam, you cannot see a living virus. You will see a dead, dormant virus. But Reich, what he did is, I've seen black and white photos of it, and it looks extremely complex. I have no idea how he came up with this. But he started playing with combinations of prisms, crystal prisms of different sizes, different shapes, different configurations, and arranging them in such a way that from pure white light, he was able to isolate frequencies. And what he ended up doing is, by he would have, let's say, a petri dish with a culture, and he knew ahead of time, okay, what is this culture? What is, okay, what's the virus in this tissue? And what he would do is he would expose the specimen to the different frequencies of light that he was able to isolate. So what he would get an interference pattern as the light was shining, the specific light frequency was shining through the specimen, he could actually project it and actually see the virus in action. And this is just usual light. This is regular light. We're not talking laser beams. We're not talking a beam of electrons. This is just visual light, but of a discrete frequencies, which he achieved using prisms. So he was able to see viruses in action. He wasn't seeing the body of the virus itself. He was seeing the activity of the virus in the sample tissue. And in doing so, he ascertained, okay, these things have a, by getting this, these interference patterns, he ascertained that each specific pathogen that he was analyzing in this manner, by exposing it to discrete lights and getting an interference pattern, each one has a specific resonant frequency. And that's how he ended up doing the opposite. Instead of exposing it to discrete frequencies of light to get an interference pattern, okay, what happens if I beam the frequency of the pattern to the pathogen? And what he ended up discovering is that by doing that, the pathogen would get overloaded because it's being hit with its own resonant frequency and it would just burst. And there are black and white videos of it you can find on the internet where they expose amoebas and paramecium and other large microorganisms with their own resonant frequency, and they just start bloating like a balloon, and then their membrane just breaks up and the pathogen dies. So that's how he started collecting and analyzing and collecting series of frequencies for different pathogens. And he's the one who stumbled on this particular brand of VX virus that was responsible for causing cancer. So, but it was the dark field microscopy that came first, and from that he reasoned that, okay, what happens now if I hit the pathogens with its risen frequency? So the machine came later.
Okay, when we come back, because we're at the top of the hour, I want to pursue that, because I did write about it in the book, but not in such detail as you are now explaining. Because it's the key to why we don't have medical science the way it should be, working at that level with energies.
Medicine is a business, not a science.
Right. We'll come back.
I just offended how many people out there.
They don't listen to us anyway. Those people aren't listening to us, because if they did, they'd quit their jobs. We'll be right back.
Left its scenes while I was sleeping. the sound of silence. In restless dreams I walked alone, narrow streets of cobblestone. Neath the halo of a street lamp, I turned my collar to the cold and damp. When my eyes were stabbed by the flash of a neon light that split the night and touched the sound of silence. And in the naked light I saw 10,000 people, maybe more. People talking without speaking. People hearing without listening. People writing songs and voices never shared.
Welcome back to the Cosmic Reality Radio Show, a show I dearly love because I never know what's going to happen on it. It is January 21st, 2020, with my friend Walt Silva and Dolly Howard. Dolly, is there anything you would like to say concerning what we've been talking about?
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Are you there?
Oh, I heard this funny noise. Oh. No, you guys are doing just fine.
Have we got you completely bewildered? Or are you finding some...
I'm entertaining myself.
Oh, okay. All right. We don't have to worry about her, Walt.
No.
That means she's eating chicken.
Probably.
No, I'm not eating anything. I'm afraid I'll throw it up.
Oh, good, good.
That's one of those days. But I'm home. That's all that matters.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, she took a trip to the hospital, Walt.
Over the weekend.
Yeah, for the weekend.
I went to the doctor for a regular doctor appointment, and I didn't feel so good when I went in. And as I was sitting there, I was getting worse. And I guess I lost all the color in my body.
Oh, it's the hospital environment. The energy is just horrible there.
Well, he wasn't in the hospital. He was in his own office.
Yeah.
But anyway, I was having difficulties breathing again. And he even wheeled me out to my car. He told him that, you go get the car. He told his people, call ER and tell him she's on her way. And he wheeled me out to my car.
And the hospital was how far away?
One block.
So, see, we're right, Walt. The hospital environment, you know, bleeds out into the community. Can you imagine living next to a hospital? Oh, my God.
That's like, you'd be better off living next to a cemetery.
Oh, my gosh.
Much more preferable because they're dead in a cemetery than the hospital. Yeah, they're still walking around.
When we lived in Markle, Indiana, when I was growing up, we lived across the street from the town cemetery, and we loved it. They were the quietest neighbors you could ever wish for, and we'd go and play in the cemetery and hide amongst the tombstones, and we just had a ball.
There, see?
Mm-hmm.
So you're in the ER.
Yeah. Oh! And one of the guys came in, and he had a beautiful tattoo. I didn't even ask him, Monica. I forgot all about it. I don't even remember what's GNA now. You ask him. So anyway, one of the guys that came to put an IV in my arm had this beautiful tattoo. He was Catholic, so it was Mother Mary and angels, and he had a couple special angel-type things for his mother and his grandmother. And so I was talking to him about it, and I told him, well, you know, I believe in angels. He said, yeah, I do too. I said, all you have to do is ask them for whatever you need, and they'll help you. But you have to ask and say thank you. He said, yeah, you're right. He looked at me kind of sheepishly and he said, but I've been kind of on the outs with the big guy. I said, you have? He said, yeah, I haven't been talking to him. I said, well, you can always talk to him and listen to him. It's not too late, ever, never. He said, I know. So we got to talk about that. And I don't know, it was okay in the ER. I'm going to talk about it in Dolly Shares. I had a lot of experiences. Oh, my private hospital room, I was able to have spirits in it. Well, not able to have, they were already there. They allowed me to come in their room. But they made themselves so I could see them. Out of the corner of my eye, I could see them. And I was talking to the CNA that I had in there, and I did not realize that she had this big, must have been at least like 3 inches in height by at least 6 inches in width, diamond spelled out blessed, BLESSED. Did not notice that until after I was telling her about the spirits in the room. And I looked at her and I got this feeling, oh yeah, she knows about this stuff, but she's afraid for you to tell her about it.
That's very weird, because when I was out in the catio,
yeah,
after the flood, you know, and I was just, I don't even know what I was doing out there, but all of a sudden something in the dirt looked weird, and I bent over and I picked it up, and it's about, oh, I would say about 3 inches long, no, maybe more, maybe 4 inches, and only about an inch, three quarters maybe. No, probably an inch width, but it says blessed.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's like metal, but it's, you know, been there for God only knows how long, you know. An American picker would think probably, you know, at least 75 years or more.
Wow.
So I had to tell you that, because it was like, I mean, I have, that was the garden, that same area. I mean, I have dug up that soil, I can't tell you how many times, and all of a sudden it's there. And laying there, not, I didn't dig for it, it was laying there. Weird.
Like it was set there for you to notice.
Oh, I absolutely knew it was, yeah. So there's something magical about the word blessed, apparently.
Yeah. But more and more things like this are happening. And if you all just please keep your eyes and ears open so you can see these things that have never happened to you before, but all of a sudden are happening. You're experiencing different feels. You're seeing things in a different light, different tints to the colors. Things are more vivid to me anyway. More alive. It's like I've gone into a different place that has more vivid stuff, more...
Typical change of frequency. The higher the frequency, the more colors that begin to manifest.
Oh, I like it. I really like it. I'll tell more stories.
Okay.
On Dolly Shears.
Well, you know, Lance White sent me a message and asked me if I wouldn't share this show he had just had with Timothy Dunn, who is an astrologer. And I was so impressed with that one that I went back to the last one before that when Timothy had been on with Lance. And they got into a discussion, the first one, which was just a few days ago, talks about 2020 and all the energies from the astrological standpoint that are in play. And he was able to really connote a storyline, you know, which is like the Russians banking thing is part of the story. Everything is crumbling. Everything is falling apart. And isn't it wonderful? And we're going to have a good time. You know, none of this doom and gloom. It's like, yeah, we're finally to say, you know, yeah, that type of thing. But in the show that he had done in October, I had to laugh because they got to talk, and he and Lance, about the poor people that aren't awake. And, you know, they suddenly start waking up, and oh my God, you know, and he says, well, I gotta tell you, he says, we're so fortunate in that we are awake, we are aware, we are seeing what's happening around us. He said, but these poor people, unless they've taken psychedelics, they're not going to be anywhere near ready for this, you know? And the fact that he had said psychedelics, I thought, that is very, very funny. Because as I have explained to many people, when I was in college, I took psychedelics. I'm very familiar with them. And I'm going to tell you that in my perception of what's happening around me, it's like very psychedelic in a very subtle way. Because when you enter the energy field, because yes, it's chemically induced, but it is an energy. And you've got this energy, and now you are vibrating to a point where you can see much. Now, I wouldn't be able to have explained what I'm going to explain now back then, but when I would be looking at what I was looking at, it would take on a softness to it. There were no jagged edges anywhere. It was all very soft. It all looked the same, but, you know, it was very soft. But the fabric of what was between the, like, the 3D reality was what had changed to become a more accessible part of reality. Because we got this reality, but in between the reality, you've got a whole new spectrum of reality. And that is when you become totally telepathic when you're, you know, on a hallucinogenic. Totally. I remember being at the University of Connecticut, and there was a pond between me and a couple of other people were over with me. And then the group of people, and everybody there was doing acid. Everybody. And the people on the other side of the pond were, I could hear everything they were thinking in their minds.
Oh my gosh.
Every single one of them. All I had to do was focus on it. And it wasn't like there was a lot of gibberish like you'd hear in a crowd. It was like if I focused on one of them, boom, all of a sudden I could hear everything that they had, they were thinking in their mind. And lately it's like, remember the, I told you a couple of shows ago, you know, that I was outside and I got spooked. You know, the yard was actually spooking me. And that kind of threw me into, I wonder why I was being spooked. And so I started to go out and pay more attention to the details. You know what it is? And I realized that what was spooking me was that I was not seeing the 3D reality that I was used to. I was seeing the reality on the verge of a psychedelic trip.
Because, oh, wow.
Everything gets a little bit softer. That's the only way I can explain it. And more vivid. You know, the colors and everything, that's, they start to, shadows yeah. will suddenly become more discernible.
Yeah.
You know? So.
Well, when I was laying in the bed,
go ahead.
I was laying in the bed, and where was I? I was in the private room. And, it was light outside. I don't know what time was it. It was light outside. And all of a sudden, I started feeling vibration. And I literally, the room literally, it was like it was vibrating. And my covers were vibrating. My body was vibrating. And it was kind of wavy looking, but yet, like the air, I could see the air wavy looking, but it wasn't like when you look at the hot pavement, it wasn't that shimmery type wavy, it was, the air was wavy, and then all of a sudden I felt love, I felt like blankets were around me, blankets of love, like somebody was throwing me blankets of love and good thoughts. I saw, felt, and heard good thoughts. Things in my world seemed to be changing, and I was wondering if I was there because I needed a change in my body chemistry, because I really was having trouble living, breathing, functioning. And so when he talked me into going to the hospital, I thought, well, what made me go was maybe I need a chemical change in my body makeup at this point in time. They did add a pill that has eased the pain quite a bit, but it's also interacted with the other meds I'm on, and I am feeling a different feel and a better feel, vibratory type feel around me, in me, that is me. So I think it was meant that I go there at that point in time because I was needing this adjustment. And when I was laying there the first night, I wasn't sleeping because I couldn't sleep all night because of my roommate. I'll tell you about it in dollar shares. But all of a sudden, I'm transported to like I'm sitting on a ledge and I'm looking down, but yet I'm in my body at the same time. I didn't leave my body at all. But I feel like I've been transported at the same time, like in two places at once. And I was sitting there and I had this decision to make. Do I want to stay or do I want to go? And I thought, oh, come on, not this again. And but it, they said, it's serious. Do you want to stay or do you want to go? Because there's so much more that you need to do, and there's so much happening now that I would be pleasantly surprised to be able to interact with the events that are happening now. And so, you of course, you know the outcome of that, because here I am talking to you. But it was a different type of take me somewhere to make this decision. Am I the only one that gets to make this decision so many times? I mean, really. To me, it seems to be a common everyday occurrence, kind of.
I think that everybody makes decisions all through their lives. Very, very seemingly not important decisions that are critical to their outcome. Because I think of ourselves as being that powerful. You know, it's like if you get to a point where you really feel like you're on a mission, and no matter where you are, you may not understand the mission, but you know that you're on the mission. And you try to follow the breadcrumbs that tell you this is the easy way. And I'll tell you, it's always the easy way. If you start running into a lot of problems, you might want to just stand back and look at what you're doing. Are you pushing instead of following? Because if you follow, you're going to be guided to every single little, you know, signal that tells you that you go this way, go this way, go this way. And, you know, I just think that everybody is always making these decisions. It's just that you've gotten to a point where they can be blunt with you. You know, you want to go or you want to stay?
Yeah. Absolutely.
You know?
So, I like that they give me the choice, because I'm not ready to go yet. Not at all.
Well, what if you already gone?
I don't feel like I have.
Well, years ago when I would read, different presenters were writing about this issue of ascension symptoms. I remember reading one of the channel conferences from the Crimson Circle, the people in Colorado. And at the time, I remember Jeffrey Hoppe was channeling Tobias. He stopped because Tobias has taken on physicality. He's now incarnated in a young boy, so this, he's not saying anything. So he's channeling some other character. But when he would talk about this issue, he said that one of the reasons it was going to be so difficult for a lot of people, and a lot of people were going to choose to leave their physical expression, is because since he explains that since we are changing vibration with the planet, it's like you, how can I say this? Instead of leaving the physical body to go to the astral plane until such time as you choose to come back to physical expression, instead of doing that, it's like you were dying in your life. It's like in the sense that, for example, it's a common process that when people first leave their physical expression and they move on to the astral plane, they do get a chance to do a review of all the things they lived in physical life, because it helps them determine, okay, what is going to be the next set of experiences I'm going to give myself when I go back to physical life. He says, well, that's actually happening while you're still alive. So he went on to compare it to, imagine you're living in a house, and normally when your house is going to be completely rebuilt, normally the family moves away to a motel or a hotel until such time as the house is done with all the renovations. This is not happening like that. It's happening while you're still in the house. They're changing the plumbing, they're changing the wiring, they're fixing the rooms, they're changing everything in the house, and you're still living in it. And that's why so many people were experiencing lots of physical stresses, things that would be described as physical ailments, pains. One day they would have an intense pain somewhere in their body. The next day it's like nothing. Like there was nothing there to begin with. A lot of things were going to be misdiagnosed by medicine because medicine doesn't know what's going on with the human body. Dr. Costa spoke about how doctors are not trained to recognize what a fourth dimensional cell looks like. A lot of people are going to be misdiagnosed with cancers that are not there. And it's all happening because we are moving along with the planet. The planet is changing vibrations, and so are we. So he says, when you get to the other side, there was no need of you to forego your physical expression because you took it with you in a way. So you're going to be in the new reality, and your body is now, okay, your house is completely renovated. So he spoke at length about that. And I think it's true. A lot of people are not going to have the need of giving up their physical body. They're just going to move into the new reality with the existing one. Of course, it's highly improved body. But, you know, some people are not going to be able to tolerate the stress. That's why Dr. Costa went around teaching that 15-step process to get rid of all that old baggage, you know, past traumas of past lives, because all that energy is incompatible to where the planet is going. You can't take all that crap with you. You have to leave it behind. So that's why a lot of people were leaving. They couldn't take the stress of living in the house that was being renovated. But I don't know. I think your posse is helping you along. every time you make noises that you want to leave, so they come up with some other reason. Well, but what about this?
Well, thinking about it the way you're saying, I could see where a person could move into a different vibratory area while on Earth, but yet still stay on Earth. I can understand that better now, what you're saying.
Now that you're saying that, you reminded me of one of the questions that were posed to, because the way the Crimson Circle does the lectures, for one solid hour, he's channeling information. Then the second hour is Q&A. People start asking questions of Tobias. And then after that particular lecture, one of the men stood up and, you know, they hand you the cordless microphone and the person asks the question. This person wanted to understand an experience that he had had where he went to visit the Grand Canyon. And apparently, I've never been there, but apparently along the entire length of it, there are areas that are considered lookouts where people get off their car or whatever mobility they have. And they go up to the edge and they take photos of the canyon. And at one point, when he got off the car at one of these lookouts, an older Afro-American gentleman approached him. He was there with his family. And he remembered the gentleman because he noticed that as the gentleman spoke, he was missing a bunch of teeth. And he had like a 5 o'clock shadow type beard where, but he was able to see it because his beard was gray hairs, you know, against the contrast of the dark skin. And the man was very friendly and they had a little bit of a chat. And the man was asking directions of one place where they wanted to go take pictures of something. And the man pointed to a hill and he says, yeah, if you go up there to that particular hill, you'll get a better view of such and such an area and you'll be able to take photos. So they said goodbye, and the man left with his family. So I forget how long he was there at the particular lookout. The man got into the car, and he drove a little way. So he ended up near the hill where he sent these people. And as he was going to get back in the car, he noticed the people were coming back down from the hill. I guess they were done with their photo taking. And the same gentleman approached him to talk to him because he recognized the man who gave him directions. He says, but this time he was completely perplexed because the man looked like he was 30 or 40 years younger. He has all his teeth in his mouth. He didn't have any gray hairs in his face. He had the beard growth, but it was all black, and it was the same man. He was wearing the same clothing and everything, and noticed the same ring in his hand and everything. So he was asking Tobias, what is it? What did I witness that I saw this? And then Tobias says, you have got a glimpse of the other reality. You got, like, saying, like, when you compare third dimension to fourth dimension, he said, for a short while, you had a glimpse of the other reality, where these people are moving into a higher vibration, so they're not old in that other reality. So that was an interesting thing. You said that, and you reminded me of this man's experience.
Well, I've got a story like that. When I was with some people, and we were doing a fair with Shungite right in the beginning, this guy was walking. It was terribly set up, and it was a lot of buildings. It was like a tourist trappy thing, and people were walking through the building, and they were mostly just walking by you. It was like there was a thoroughfare in front of you, but nobody was stopping to look.
Oh, was that the one where it was like 150 degrees?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was terrible. But this guy is walking by me, and he's got a Vanity Fair magazine, which to me, Vanity Fair is something that a woman would be reading, not a man. But anyway, it was under his left elbow type thing, under his arm. And he looked disheveled and kind of grimy and had a container of what I was assuming was alcohol in one hand. And for some reason, I said something to him. You know, like, you want to see this Shungite stuff, you know, and he comes over and I'm looking at him and he's absolutely snockered. But I give him the samples that we were giving out, right? So, and it was Stephanie was next to me, and I said, Steph, I said, this guy that just, I said, you know, what I did was I hit her because I was afraid that he was going to be one of those creepy people that start to talk to you and stuff. You know,
oh, yeah.
But he didn't. He just, you know, took the stuff and off he goes. Well, not a very short time later, within 20 minutes, all of a sudden I'm looking and here comes this guy, same clothes, Vanity Fair under the elbow, but he's clean cut. He looks sharp. He is completely sober. And I was so stunned, I didn't say anything this time. And it just so happens that Stephanie saw him too. And she said, am I going crazy? And I said, that's the same guy, isn't it? And she said, well, no, it's not, but yes, it is. And so then I sat back and I asked the guides, what's this about? And I was told directly that what you saw is the first guy was in the 3D matrix reality. The second guy was in the new reality, and that you had done it's sort of like a timeline slip or something that happens. The same sort of thing I think you're alluding to there.
Wow.
So in the new reality, Dolly is perfectly fine.
Oh, yeah. If I am in a new reality, I don't mind it at all.
Well, yeah, but you know, you got to think in terms of the fact that if what he's describing and what I absolutely have seen before is that your etheric body, your spiritual body, has done an upgrade. And because of the upgrade to your spiritual body, your third dimensional body will respond, yes. But if you continue to think in terms of you've got a bad artery or a bad heart or what, you're going to override the etheric blueprint, because that's where people get into trouble all the time. It's the, you know, if you think about yourself being ill, you will be ill. If you think of yourself as being a new upgrade with a perfectly perfect body, and that's what will occur. That's the kind of manifestation. This is the, you know, the ascension. It's the evolution of human consciousness and its ability to understand, you know, the direct consequence of thought and manifestation. So it's still up to you.
You remind me of something that Dr. Costa said. when we were having an informal conversation in one of those workshops, that I remember asking that science has already shown, I don't know how they've documented, but it's been mentioned that back in the Middle Ages, adult people, I get it, you know, life expectation in those years wasn't like now, but adult people, by adult I mean people under 20s, under 30s, if they lost a tooth for whatever reason, they would grow a new one. And I said to him, why doesn't that happen in the present? Is it like chemical contamination or something? And his response was very simple. He says, they're thinking. They're convinced they can't because they've been told that you only get one set of adult teeth and no more. So when you lose a tooth today, you don't grow a new one because that's the thinking. It's the thinking that stops it from happening. And I thought, okay, that's interesting. Now I have to reprogram my thinking.
I'm just thinking that too. Hey, I like that.
Well, you know, part of the problem is, Jan and I got into this a little bit on Say What, is that we understand the mechanism of manifestation and how it works, but it all comes down to that human thought pattern. And unfortunately, we might really believe that what we're saying is true, but, and we might be clear, we might be perfectly clear, but the second rule of cosmic reality is majority wins. So it's like you have to convince other people around you that this is possible. Otherwise, you're working against their thought patterns. Does that make sense?
Yes and no, Nancy. Because if you break contract with their belief, then it can't affect you. What impacts your reality is what you agree to.
Good point.
Yeah, I was just thinking, well, what if they're interfering in mine?
Break contract.
My reality. Yeah.
I use an alias technique all the time. I write it down and then put a red circle and a red line and I say, I do not agree with this. Therefore, it doesn't, it exists for other people. Of course it exists for other people, but it doesn't impact my reality. The thing is that you have to do the work. You have to sit down and write it, what you want, what you don't want, and be clear on what you want and what you don't want, and then vote for one and then cancel the other. It's not going to happen by itself. You have to sit down and decide. Don't let others decide for you.
Well, you know, this makes absolute sense because I do a lot of, you've seen it, you know. No, this has got to, it's got to exist. And then you find it, a computer program. Or I'm interested in getting the information about this subject and somehow it'll come to me. All of the things that people, you know, we tell people they're capable of, but why can I do it with seeming ease and other people cannot? And that is the key to it, is that for decades, I didn't give a flying flip of what anybody thought. Nobody ruled my life. I have lived for 35 years on an acre of land in the middle of Miami, Florida, where my neighbors are my friends and I only see them when we're partying or I need help or they need help. It's not like I'm living with anybody that's influencing anything. You know, so I mean, I was like, I'm not saying that the rest of you, I mean, I feel for you, the rest of you, you got all these people around you demanding stuff, you know? But I mean, my gosh, my mission was to be able to get to these places. Why was my life full of different psychedelic drugs? So I could see, so I could understand, and all the other people that along with me that have taken them that won't admit it, but you should. You know, we have seen another reality, a reality that simultaneously exists in the same, technically, space. So, you know, I mean, it's like, that's the key. Don't give a crap about what anybody else thinks. It's none of your business.
Well, that's another thing that's happened to me lately. Well, not lately. I've been feeling this way for a while. I think I said something a while back. You even said, oh, she's old and she doesn't care now. And when you said that, it took me aback for a minute, and I thought, she's absolutely right. I don't give a flying turtles.
Foop.
Yeah.
Foop, and F-O-O-P.
I really don't. And I have the feel it's all going to work out the way it's supposed to. I'm not going to get myself all upset. It's like I'm watching the impeachment thing. I know that the sound of the swamp beings' voices agitates the hell out of me. So I just watch, and every once in a while I'll flip the mute off so I can hear a certain thing, and then I flip it back on, but it does not upset me. I'm looking at it differently. Yeah.
That's breaking contract for you, because even though whatever is there is still there, it's no longer impacting you. So you just broke a contract with that negative energy, and it can't affect you anymore. So your reality is different from everybody else that's living in the house.
Yeah, and this is something that we have to go through as a nation, as not just the United States, but as the world. We have to go through this so that we can move on to bigger and better. That's the message.
And that's why they
want
to own people's consciousness. Grab it. Grab it with news. Grab it with advertisement. Grab it with cell phones. It's a war for consciousness. Not money, not political power, none of that. That's all just frosting on the cake. The real prize is, let's grab as much consciousness as we can. So, starve them. Don't give them your consciousness.
Somebody's going to control your brain. It might as well be yourself.
That's right. Doggone it. Yes.
It's a very interesting place we find ourselves. But it comes back to that resonance thing, Walt. Now, we could have taken that subject and talked about the Twin Towers coming down, 9/11, you know. But as I think I was listening to Disturbance. When we talk about resonance, and we're talking about vibrations that are in sync, so to speak, I think that becomes, let's say, a aspect of Rule 2 in cosmic reality. Majority wins. Because as you get different people, and I knew it was never numbers, you know, it's not how many people, it's a matter of how much energy. But if you get a lot of people who start to resonate in the same frequency, and your frequency resonation can the frequency at which you resonate at can change depending on your experiences and the people that you associate with, and even your location, and all sorts of things. But you start to build a consensus of a frequency of the new human, one that believes that you can rebuild your etheric and therefore rebuild your third dimensional physical body. The concept of telepathy, of remote viewing, of all of the things that seem to be unexplainable now is very understandable in a world of venerology where we're dealing with energies. And that is the key to how we operate at that, where's the majority? It's when people begin to resonate in the same basic frequency. And that's what is starting to overpower the delusional reality that we've been in. And I think that's why it's starting to break down. It's simple physics. It's more and more. I'm astounded at.
Well, people are unplugging from the old system. They're just getting fed up. Nothing is being addressed. Questions are not being answered. Nothing is getting fixed. It's just more of the same ad nauseum. So people are unplugging.
But they're plugging into the new one.
There must be something better. There's got to be something better out there.
They're plugging into the new one. That's what I'm saying, Walt.
Yes.
That I, You know, when I first started, when I wrote Cosmic Reality and I started talking about the rules of cosmic reality, reality is what you think it is, majority rules, right? Those two. And the people in charge of a given reality will keep everybody else from knowing rules one and two. When I would say that, there would be dumb space. You know, nobody's commenting. And now you hear it all the time. You know, yep. It's something that we have agreed on as a certain, you know, fraction of the population. Reality is ours to determine.
There's something that needs to be repeated endlessly, is that a lot of people, there's nothing wrong with being active in the things you like or the things that you find worthwhile. Nothing wrong. Like if you want to go out and gather signatures for some change in your community, that's fine. If you want to go out and talk to people, that's all fine. But the greatest thing that, because a lot of people think, oh, I'm going to fix the world, or I'm going to change the world, or I'm something with the world. Well, the most powerful thing you can do to alter the world is you. You change you, and everything will ripple out from you, and you start impacting the people around you, and they start changing, because that's the thing that happens when you change your level, your point of frequency, your level of vibration. The higher you go in your vibration, you start hitting everybody else. That's why, like Inelia said in her book, The Interview with the Psychic Assassin, that was the job of the psychic assassin. She had to periodically scan the population, and if somebody was starting to show signs of waking up, that was her job to take them out, because they knew that one person waking up was impacting 10,000 other people. So you want to change the world, you start with you. And you'll see it'll start catching on fire. Didn't want to bring that image on. Bad connotation, but it'll catch on. It'll start impacting other people. And like you said, if you had told your family about the Federal Reserve Board time ago, they would have called you a crazy conspiracy theorist. Now they're right in tune with you. And maybe no one necessarily told them anything, but they are being impacted by that change in consciousness. All those ripples that you're sending out.
My family, when they were talking about the Federal Reserve. No, I keep seeing so many changes in the collective consciousness. And it's not, okay, there are things that I stumbled into about the Kennedy assassination, such as Oswald was an operative for the Navy intelligence. A whole slew of things specific to that particular subject, that they had developed a fast-acting cancer, things that nobody else had touched out there. Now I find out that there were many people who also saw the same thing at the same time. I was the first one because in my reality, that's what I saw. But as it gets bigger, you find out, no, there were a lot of people that saw the same thing. And so we were all up there in the collective thinking about it, you know, like, oh, no, this is what really happened. And so now it's all starting to come out. There's a massive amount of consensus in a lot of the conspiracy theories that I'm seeing now. It's really fascinating, but it definitely comes from the super subconscious. And of Gaia herself, I mean, that includes Gaia. It's just not humanity. It's every spirit, everything that's alive. And probably in the multi-dimensions, too. So, what else? We got 10 minutes.
So nothing new from the posse? Like,
the crowd seems to like the way the conversation turned. Nothing from the posse you're asking me?
No gossip?
Posse, you got any good gossip? They're telling me gossiping is a sin. You shouldn't ask us this.
Oh, okay.
But they're chuckling.
Walt did it. Walt did it. I was innocent.
They're laughing. They don't really have anything. They're teasing me about the yellow house because I keep saying to Dave, can I go to the yellow house now?
What's the purpose of the yellow house?
Ready yet. I don't know. That's why I want to go. It's next to the greenhouse. And the greenhouse is the one where I was taken, and it's where they told me to ask people to go to, you go in the door, and you're in this living room, and there's these beings, you can feel them. Some of them, I saw one, but it was a crazy sight, laying kind of drunkenly against the wall on the floor, and I haven't figured that one out yet. But Dave chuckles every time I bring it up. But you go there and you send good energies. You just send it up to the roof, and the roof will take your energies and send it out in the directions it need. Your specific energies need to go. That's where they will get. And everyone has different energies. So all these energies that people come and they share their energies are going to these different areas. And they're saying it's helping a lot with people who are waking up, with people who with this spiritual battle that's going on. Jan said it, and so now I feel I can come out and say what I feel. There is a spiritual battle going on between good and bad. And it's been going on, and I know it because I've been involved in it. Well, so your energies are going toward the beings in that battle that need your certain energy, the certain energies that these different people are sending out. And they're going to the people to help them to wake up and to help those who are waking up, who are stumbling around saying, what happened? Why is it so different? And this is a place where concentrated energies can be manipulated the way they need to be put together and sent to the right places. That's the greenhouse. That's a different green than I've ever seen in my life. And I like it. And I hate green. And it's a shimmery type house. Well, next to it is a shimmery yellow I've never seen in my life. But I can't go in there until I'm ready. And Dave says, you're not ready yet. So I said, well, what's in there? What's it all about? You're not ready yet.
Oh, well, green is the color of the heart chakra. So that's the color of love.
Green is the color of what?
Green is the color of love. It's not pink. I know people have this idealized St. Valentine's Day idea that love is supposed to be pink. Love is green. Lemon green, specifically.
Now, see, this looks like a kind of a lemon green, but it's pretty.
Yes, it's pure love.
Wow, thanks.
Yellow is a color of building. In fact, the physical bodies that we wear, they're, if you consult the raw material, they're called yellow ray bodies, because the yellow ray is the one that administers or controls the manifestation of the physical. So the physical body is in tune with the yellow ray, which is physical creation. So maybe that's where they make stuff?
I don't know, Walt.
They
I'll
take
find
all
out
that energy
when
and they
I can
use
go.
It to make stuff?
I don't guess things. I got that attitude. I don't give a I don't care anymore.
You don't give a flying poop.
Yeah, because it is what it is. And when when I'm needed to go and help in some way, I will be contacted. And in the meantime, I'm here for the others who they bring to me. and I'm here as a voice. What's that song? I came here to talk.
Sing.
They am, huh?
Sing.
Sing. Yeah, but I came here to talk. I didn't come to sing. I came to talk. And you're allowing me, Nancy's allowing me to talk on the airwaves. And
which is doing. Doing is not just, you know, getting up and doing things with your hands. Talking is doing, and it's doing more because a lot of people are listening to you. And you, and it's a way of sharing energy because what you are is in your voice. That's why everyone's voice is like a fingerprint, and you can do voice analysis. So you're doing that. You're spreading your voice and impacting people's consciousness.
I'm doing my mission.
Yep. You don't need to be up and around doing things with your hands. That's not doing. That's an old concept.
Yeah. It's interesting these days, especially since I got to the place where I think, well, I don't care. It's going to work out the way it's supposed to work out. I'm just here to help it along. And I feel so much more relieved. It gives me the time that you need to sit back and look at the things around me. And to see them through my different eyes now.
And also, have you noticed that when you question things to death, you kind of sabotage their energy? If you leave it alone, you know, it'll be what it has to be.
Say that again while I was reading what Mona said. She lost sound.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead.
No, is that it's okay and normal to ask questions. I mean, at least it shows that you're awake and you're interested in a subject. So there's nothing wrong with that. But there are sometimes in a situation, for example, where you're witnessing or having a metaphysical experience of like visiting that greenhouse and witnessing the yellow house. That when we have events of that nature in our life, if you question it to death, you end up sabotaging the energy. It can't be what it has to be, or let's say something great and good is coming to you, but it doesn't get there because you just sabotage the energy because you keep questioning everything to death. Like, for example, when you, when in Elia, they needed to find a place where to live, and they found she found that the block was in him because in her case, she had no problem manifesting a place to live. But in his case, he needed a story to justify what Nancy has explained it in the past. Many times, that's one of the blocks to manifesting, is that you need to create a story to give the mind a justification why this is here. The story kind of justifies why you manifested this out of thin air. And many times, we don't let stuff manifest out of thin air for our benefit because we have to question every little goddamn thing, little detail to death. Why this and why that and why now and why how and how tall and how low and how heavy and how, and we just ask so many questions about.
We get in our own way.
Exactly. We get in the way. And that's why a lot of channel material says, get out of the way. Get out of the way.
Oh, there's an Anon 9362. Says, thank you all for the company. Themes. Looking forward to the replay. Last week's replay isn't up on the site or YouTube, FYI. Nancy knows that she's been a little busy.
No. The computers are so slow, it's taking forever to get them up there. I will try to get them up because it's the computer problem I'm having.
You know that's the case.
Yeah. No, I do know that.
Yeah.
Now, in the area where you live, Nancy, the phone company hasn't done optic fiber yet?
No.
They're still in? Oh, okay.
Anyway, we got to end the show, so say goodnight, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody. Have an excellent night.
Bye. And thanks for being with us. Bye-bye. The unknown,
unknown, unknown. You have been listening to the Cosmic Reality Radio Show, produced by Cosmic Reality Radio. Thank you for listening. Choose your heart as a